Hello and welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for our digital listeners for tuning in today. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles together to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Now, last week I ended up splitting this sermon into two in order to get a better understanding of some of the fundamental aspects of what Jesus was teaching the disciples. Now, today we are going to go back and continue to see what and where the disciples were going, but we are going to take some extra time in here to kind of slow down and consider all of the wise counsel that Jesus is supplying. So first off, our recurring question from the last few weeks, what is our purpose in life? What is our purpose in life? It is to bring God glory. Don't forget that. We're going to keep talking about that. It is so vitally important for the Christian life. Now, I want to begin in verse 9 today, but let me go back and just kind of give you some context for what's going on. Last week, we kind of got the lay of the land here in the text. Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples to the lost sheep of Israel, specifically to cities that have Jews that are not converted. These are the lost sheep. Now, these were areas that the people were educated about Jesus. They knew what God's law had said about the coming Messiah and were waiting for him to arrive. So the arrival of the disciples should have been both expected and welcomed. Now, the disciples were to preach that Jesus had come and give people a choice to follow Christ. Now, Jesus also gave the disciples the abilities through God to heal all kinds of sickness and infirmities, to raise the dead, as well as to cast out demons. And they were to do all of these things at no cost to anyone. Now, let's look together starting at verse 9 to see how the disciples were to prepare for their journey and their mission. Jesus says, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food." Now, Jesus tells his disciples to go out and take nothing with them. Now, look with me again here. In today's terms, Jesus says, don't take any money. Don't take a suitcase. Don't pack any extra clothes or shoes, and don't take a staff even with you. Now, the staff was used to lean on in walking for long journeys. It was also a defense and an offense against an attacking person or an animal. It helped in many different ways when a journey was made. And the fact that Jesus says not to take it suggests that Jesus wanted other people to step in and be that staff or help instead. And even that Jesus wanted them to not rely on the things that they had, but to rely on God. Now, Jesus is telling his disciples to not take anything extra because he wants to give the Israelites an opportunity to be a blessing to those men who are taking the message of God out to them. Now, they weren't even taking any food. All of their provisions were expected to be cared for by those that they were going out to share the gospel with. Now, let me ask you this. How would you feel if God told you to go out into another town and to take absolutely no provision for your journey? Now, you might be gone for a few weeks. Let's just say that an Uber driver came and picked you up and took you to two cities over and dropped you off in that city, and you were going to have to stay there for the next 3 weeks, you know, teaching and preaching and so on about the Lord, and you couldn't take anything with you. You couldn't even take your wallet. You couldn't take a credit card, okay? I know many of us, if we didn't have our credit card with us, you know, what are we going to do? And I even think in today's kind of terminology, we weren't allowed a smartphone even with us. Basically, the shirts, the clothes that we have on our back, in a sense, everything that we have just basically on us without anything electronic and without our wallets or any kind of money or any provision, not even a bottle of water with us or anything. And we were left out there for 3 weeks, and God was just going to take care of everything. We were just to trust in him throughout. I think this would put us to the test. You know, for me, this would be a little bit nerve-wracking, but that is absolute trusting in God's provision. Now, there's a lot of times that we say, well, I trust in God. I trust in what God is going to do. I trust in what God is doing in my life. Now, we say that, and that's great, but this would be an opportunity to really put that trust in action. Now, this gives us a good picture of what kind of opportunities the people had to care for Jesus' disciples. Now, these 12 men were limited so that the Israelites would have the maximum opportunity to be a blessing. Now, they would have the opportunity to bring them into their home, to stay and lodge with them. They would have the opportunity to feed them, to wash their clothes, to provide for them, to travel with them, or take them to their next place. God left so many doors open and available for the Israelites to show God love by caring for those who were sent out to proclaim his name. Now, the disciples were limited in order that those around them might be a blessing to them. God still works in that way in our lives today. We are limited at times so that we will turn our focus onto God. And then also sometimes we are limited to give opportunities for those in our church or throughout our lives to be a blessing to us. Now, let's continue here in verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, when the disciples entered a city, they were to find someone to stay with, someone to lodge with and take care of their needs. Now, this worthy someone would be someone who accepted their message and wanted to bless them. Now, in other words, let's say that Peter went into a particular city, and as he's preaching Christ, there's a family there that says, wow, this message is great. I want to follow Messiah. I want to take care of this man who is following the Messiah, who is out teaching and preaching Christ. I want to bring him into my house in order that I may be a blessing to him. That would be a great opportunity for them to take Peter into their home and to feed him and to provide for him and to care for him and to pay for whatever he needed during that time of blessing for however long he was there for, and then continue building that relationship even after that. Now, make note here that once the disciples were accepted into a home, they were to stay in that home until it was time to leave. In other words, if a family was caring for their needs, but someone else came along to make them a better offer, they were to stay where they went originally in order to honor that family. Now, think about it this way. Let's say that Peter again was staying with his family, and then another family came out who maybe was a little bit more wealthy and they had more stuff in their house and they felt like they could offer Peter more things. It would be dishonorable for Peter to leave the family behind that was taking care of his needs originally and turn to this other person just because they had more. And God is instructing the disciples, as we see here, not just in what they should do physically, but also how to change their thinking and how to change even some of their own character traits in order to be a blessing and an honor to other people. And I think that really gives us even a better understanding as to how we can bring honor and how we can honor other people and consider, hey, how am I honoring someone who maybe doesn't have much, but that I can still be a friend with, that I can still be an encourager and such to, and not give more honor to someone else who has more and leave this person behind. Just something on the side there to consider. Well, the peace that the disciples had through Jesus would extend from them to the family that they were staying with, to the whole household, if they cared for the disciples' needs. Now, this is kind of an extra blessing or a bonus blessing for the family. Now, verse 14 identifies that whatever house or city refuses the disciples, when they left, they were to shake off the dust from their feet. Now, this was a common symbol that you have done everything that you can on your part, and now you are no longer responsible for what would happen next. Now, today, some of us use a similar term, also a term taken from the Bible, where we wash our hands of the situation and we are declaring that we're leaving things where they are and we're no longer responsible for what will happen. Now, in this case, the disciples, when they were not being accepted, we see that Jesus took this very seriously. Now, consider again what Jesus says in verse 15. Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now, if you think about it, that's a very severe warning. And part of this warning, I believe, is because of the fact that the Jews would have had the truth all along. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah were filled with wicked people who were not trained in what God taught. Now, those that know the truth but walk contrary to it have a greater judgment because they have ignored what they know to be right. And by the way, this verse gives us an indication that there are different levels of judgment and punishment in our eternal life. Have you ever heard someone say that the hottest parts of hell were reserved for the worst of people? Well, this gives us a glimpse of that statement. Now, as we proceed, Jesus is going to give the disciples some key focuses for going out and preaching about the coming Messiah. Look with me at verse 16. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." All right, I want to take a few minutes and really break down this verse because sometimes I think it's taken out of context or just skipped over. And I think it's a really important verse for us to consider. Now, at first glance, it seems like Jesus is letting the disciples know that he is not sending them out into a warm and fuzzy environment where they have no care of their own and they can just put their feet up on the couch and it's going to be easy peasy, no problem whatsoever. We see here instead that Jesus is saying, hey, be wise because you are going out into a potentially hostile environment, and be innocent in all that you do because you are representing me. Now, this may have been directed to Judas. You know, we often think, well, maybe this was sent off to Judas because Judas was like the bad apple in a sense. But I think it would have been a good overall virtue for all of the disciples to think about. Now, this is the first time that the disciples would have gone off on their own. And Jesus wants to make sure that they think before they act. And that is a very sensible way to prepare them. I remember years ago, when we first bought t-shirts for our church, they had our name on it and they had a scripture message. And as I was passing these t-shirts out one by one, I came across the teenagers in the church and I had said to them, listen, be very careful when you wear this t-shirt. Don't wear it anywhere. Don't wear it if you're thinking about going off and doing something that maybe you shouldn't be doing. Because when you wear this t-shirt, as it has the name stamped on the back with our website, it is a reflection of our church. This is a reflection of Campbell Bible Church. And really, I just wanted to get across to them that as we are out and about and we are identifying with Christ, we are a reflection of Jesus Christ. And I believe here that Jesus is kind of preparing these guys for persecution. He's preparing them for what is to come. And he's saying, listen, be really careful because when you're out there and you're preaching Christ, you are a reflection of Christ. You are a reflection of the Messiah. So be cautious in the different things that you do. Make sure that you don't do anything that is even in the appearance of something that is questionable. Now, there are people even in the world today who are purposely hostile to gospel believers, doing what they can to disrupt opportunities to share Christ. And we need to be cautious with that. We need to be cautious even how we react to them. We need to make sure that everything that as we react, it is loving and it is caring and it is kind. Because regardless if we feel like we're in the right, we are still a example of Jesus Christ and the things that we say, the way that we do, the way that we react to things. All right, look with me again at verse 16. Jesus says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." All right, so they were first to be sheep. What do we know about sheep? Well, we know that they tend to be followers. They're not the brightest. They tend to wander off sometimes. You know, they like to stay around in their group, but also they just don't really think about it, and they're following the grass, and they're following whatever they want to follow at that moment, which gives me to another point, is that they're followers. And many times they wander off. Now, they're generally innocent. And one of the things that we really know about sheep is that they need a protector. They cannot defend themselves. Now, Jesus was sending the disciples out into an area where they would be on their own and there would be wolves. Now, he was sending them out without any physical protection that they could see. And what do we know about wolves? Well, number one, we know that they hunt sheep. We know that they're smart, and we know that they are intentional in what they do. Now, in Scripture, it is the gospel believer who is described as the sheep. However, it is the false prophet and those who purpose to cause trouble that are described as the wolf. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And Jesus tells his disciples to be wise as serpents. Now, the serpent gets a bad rap because of Satan using the serpent in the Garden of Eden to tempt Eve. You know, many times we think to ourselves, I don't want to be like the serpent at all. I don't want to have any attribute of him. But this is something very important that Jesus is giving us here. So what do we know about serpents? Well, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 says that the serpent is cunning. He is cunning, which means skillful, being able to take a situation and turn it towards your advantage. Now, I think a lot of times that we look at the word cunning, we think to ourselves, well, cunning means evil. I mean, this is a sin, but that is not the case at all. When I think of cunning here and being able to take a situation and turning it to my advantage, I think about giving someone the gospel. And let's say that we're having a general conversation. Maybe we're talking about the flowers or the trees or something about nature. And it's just a very general conversation. And I take that identification about nature and so on, and I turn it around to use it as a understanding of God's creation and who God is and how God is more powerful and all the things he has created. And suddenly I have a salvation message before me that I can give to someone else. This is someone being cunning, using the information that you have in order to turn it around to use it to the best of your abilities. Now, we have people in the world all the time that are working to take wickedness and be cunning with it to turn it back against those who are righteous. The righteous need to be cunning and take the goodness and the righteous things and be able to turn these, even some of the wicked things, turn those things around and turn them into a righteous conversation about the Lord. Well, we also know about serpents that they're subtle, that they're being cautious or delicate about things. We know they're clever or crafty in getting in and out of situations. And we know that they're kind of sneaky with things. So he says, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So what do we know about doves? Well, we do know that they were allowed in sacrifices for the poor. They were considered a clean animal according to the Mosaic law for the Jews. The Holy Spirit is represented as a dove as well. We know that doves are noted in Scripture as innocent or pure, and we also know that they're harmless. Now, think about this in regards to the Christian character today. It is good for us to be innocent and pure and harmless, but in dealing with the wickedness of this world, we also need a great deal of wisdom and understanding on how to work through life and accomplish what we have been called to do. Now, I'll give you a real life example. I was very sheltered growing up in a pastor's family, and I'm very thankful for that. But in some ways, I was a little too sheltered because I was not very street smart. Now, years ago, in one of my earlier jobs, I would drive around in my work van and fix things at stores like Dollar Tree and Starbucks and JCPenney and such. Now, one day, I was in Detroit at a Home Depot getting some supplies when a man approached me and asked me for a ride. And I knew that I was not supposed to give strangers a ride. I mean, that's a very obvious thing. But he convinced me that he worked at my company's warehouse in downtown Detroit, and I just needed a ride. And he just needed a ride. So I was happy to oblige him. A long story short, once we got on the road and we were chatting and stuff, I realized, wait a minute, this guy does not work down here. What have I done? And by God's grace, he got that man out of the vehicle with stealing very little things, and it didn't cause any harm to me. And I'm very thankful for that. He preserved my life through this situation. Well, I was like the dove, harmless and innocent, but I did not have the necessary wisdom to judge what was right from wrong. Now, God wants us to be innocent and approachable and loving and caring and kind, but he also wants us to be wise and to be able to judge what is right and wrong, what situations to get into and which ones to avoid completely. Consider Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 19, which says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." Now, it's important to have both sides of these character traits, both cunning and wise, in order for us to be able to share Christ with others and also know when to let things go. Now, let's finish for today with verse 17. Jesus says, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues." Now, in this shrewdness that they were to adopt, consider here verse 17, "beware of men." In other words, don't assume that other men have the best of intentions. Now, you may be hated, you may be beaten, you may be persecuted, all manner of negative things you may encounter. And what were they to bring with them in order to protect them? Remember, Jesus told them to leave even their staff at home. They have no physical item to fight back with. They don't have any money either where they can just jump out of their situation and go stay at the local Motel 6. They can't leave. They're stuck. They're exactly where God wants them to be. And this is a great reminder to us today that if Jesus sends you out to accomplish something for his will, nothing will happen to you outside of his purpose for your life. He will care for you just as he cared for his disciples. And let's not forget, what is our purpose in life? To bring God glory. Now, God may want to use your life in a way that you were not expecting in order that he may receive the glory from it. This does not always mean that we are protected from physical harm or even physical death, but it does mean that no matter what happens to us, that God is glorified through it. And we have the opportunity to glorify God through it. That is a very important piece that we need to remember and never forget. Because life is going to be different in most cases than you expected it to be. And many times that causes even gospel believers to turn away from God because they experience hurt or hardship or loss. And I want to be very clear on that. That is something that we need to be preparing for every single day. You may experience a hardship in the next hour of your life. You may experience a hardship sometime this week, sometime next week or next month, but it is coming. And we prepare for these things by being continually in God's word, by continually meditating on his word, and by continually praying and giving everything to the Lord. Remember, the purpose of our life is to bring God glory. When the purpose of our life is to bring us glory, we are not going to stay attached to God for very long. When the trials and the tribulations of life come on, we are going to give God up and go about our business and do what it is that we want to do, what's going to make us most happy. And let me tell you, I know of so many Christians today that had a trial or a circumstance in life happened to them that they did not appreciate, that they did not like, that they called out to God and said, "Hey, I didn't sign up for this in my Christian life." And they had to face it and they had to say either, one, I'm going to follow God no matter what, and I'm going to allow him to be glorified through my reaction and action to this situation, or I'm going to choose what I want to do instead and abandon the Lord right here. And I have met so many Christians, or once upon Christians, even, or backsliding Christians, we could say, that have decided, you know what, I'm going to go my way instead. I'm upset with God. I'm turning away from him. And there's so many different situations that this has happened. But in the vast majority of these times, there was simply a hardship, a trial, a circumstance, a moving to another location. There was something that happened that caused something in life to be different. And they had to make a choice then and say, either I'm going to follow Christ here out on out, or I'm going to follow myself. And there's so many that have continued to follow themselves. Now, We can look at the situation and say, listen, when it's my turn to do this, when I'm faced with this, it's going to be different. And I'll tell you what, right now, it's not going to be different if we aren't preparing right now for it to be different. It is so very easy to give up on God. You have to determine in your mind and in your heart that you're not going to give up on him. And that determination takes perseverance, and many times it takes endurance to be able to get through that. We have to be preparing right now. We have to put our preparation into play by continually reading, by continually studying, by continually meditating, by continually praying to the Lord and asking for him to help us and to guide us and to care for us, and to continue studying his word and just getting as much of it out as we can. And just keep going back to the Lord, because your suffering is on its way. Your suffering is on its way right now. And if you're not suffering and you haven't suffered for the Lord yet, just wait. It's on its way. It's not if this ever happens. It's when this happens. And you have to determine in your heart that you're going to follow the Lord, that like the disciples, you're going to stay where God has put you and not give up. Now, we can partake in the sufferings that Jesus Christ suffered, and through a life dedicated to the Lord, his name goes out further and more people come to know him, and we get to enjoy service to the Lord over service to ourselves. But we need to remember that regardless of what happens to us, our purpose is to bring God glory. Now, the disciples were to prepare for their journey, not just in what they would bring, but also in what they needed to become through their character, using godly knowledge and wisdom. And as I said before, we need to prepare. We need to prepare. We need to get ready for what is coming, for even the things that we cannot see right now. Let me ask you today, how prepared are you today to handle the persecutions of this time? How prepared are you to be beaten for what you believe? How prepared are you to be jailed for it, or even to be martyred for it? How prepared are you to live for Jesus every day? And many times we might say something like, oh, I would totally be okay with being martyred, you know, for the Lord. Obviously, nobody wants to go through the pain of death, but to say, hey, I die for the Lord tomorrow, that's easy to say, but hard to follow through with. And even harder is to say, hey, I'm willing and ready to live for the Lord tomorrow. Because living for the Lord is so much longer, and through so much more pain and frustration and difficulty of life by living for him. But it is so worth it. We have to be prepared to suffer a life change for Christ whenever it comes. We need to get ready for that every day. And maybe that's a good point of how to set our expectations. We need to let God set our expectations for us and rejoice when he is using us for his glory in the lives of others. Now, if you're not preparing to be used or to be stretched or to be changed for God's glory, you need to start getting ready today. And if you are regularly preparing, let me encourage you, do not stop. We need to keep preparing and keep getting ready for what God brings our way. Never stop preparing and never stop glorifying God. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you continue to give to us through your word. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity over and over and over again to trust in you. I pray, Lord God, that we would be people of your word, that we would get into your word this week, that we would read it every day, that we would meditate on your word, that we would pray and be ready and get ready for the trial to come. Let us be ready before it even arrives. And I pray, Lord, that we would be determined to trust in you no matter what, over trusting in ourselves. Lord God, I pray for those that are listening to this message, Lord God. I pray that you would open up their hearts and their minds and their focus on you. I pray, Lord God, that they would not stop loving you. And I pray, Lord, that if they've gotten away from you or they don't know you yet, Lord Jesus, I pray that they would get a, you would get a hold of their hearts, allow them through the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to understand what they need to do in order to continue to follow you, in order to trust in you with all of their heart, Lord God. Lead them through John 3:16. Help them to see what the purpose is that you have for their life and how they can be forever forgiven and spend eternity with you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your love and goodness and mercy in our lives. I pray that we would go out this week, that we would trust in you, and that we would proclaim your name and bring you glory. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.